Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings, God's way, for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, hello. I'd like to welcome everyone to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Today, we're going to talk about happiness, comparison, and contentment. Anybody out there need an IV drip of some patience and some contentment throughout your day? I hear you. I heard your amens and your hallelujahs out there, but that's what we're going to be talking about. And a couple things before we get started. Of course, you can email in at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. And if you have any kind of comments, testimonies, questions, you name it, again, email in at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Now, before I get started, have you signed up for our Do Christmas Right $100,000 giveaway yet? All of Ramsey Solutions together is giving away $100,000 in cash and prizes this holiday season. Head over to stewardship.com and sign up. That's it. $100,000. We're just giving you $100,000. You okay with that? So as part of Ramsey Solutions, we as a company-wide, we are giving away $100,000. So if you want to get in on that, head over to stewardship.com. Now, do you ever find yourselves comparing yourselves to others? Those of you that think that you don't, and your answer to that was no, well, you're having a tough time being honest with yourself. Sometimes we do it consciously. Sometimes we do it subconsciously. But comparing ourselves to others, a lot of times that can bring about a discontentment, that can bring about a discouragement. And so we're going to talk about that, this whole comparison thing. You know, we do. We live in a life that is, especially with social media, it's a world of highlight reels. And you see everyone's highlight reel, but you know, their highlights in their life are public, but a lot of times the hardships are private. So instead of waiting for the morning paper or the evening news, we just switch on maybe a 24-hour sports network or click an app on our smartphones, and that's all we need. In seconds, we get a front row seat to monster dunks and tape measure home runs and one-handed catches, usually from more than one angle. So we can really showcase it. The lights are on them. They look so special. They look great. And man, we feel like a horrible athlete. We feel like we can't even put one foot in front of the other. And that's great. It's really convenient, but it doesn't tell the whole story. It doesn't account for what happens behind the scenes. Malcolm Gladwell wrote a book called Outliers, and it estimated that it takes 10,000 hours of practice behind the scenes to become a world-class anything, any pursuit, not just athletics, but anything, 10,000 hours. So a lot of times we see the finished result, but we don't see what happened behind the scenes. That's a lot of time, lifting in the weight room, maybe rehearsing in the studio or studying in the classroom. But it's that time behind the scenes that makes highlight reels possible. And whether in sports or business, maybe ministry, practice really does make, I don't know about perfect, but it really does make excellence, or what appears to be perfect sometimes. That's also why you should never compare your journey to anyone else's journey. We should just not do that. It's just not healthy. It's tempting to use someone else's highlight reel as a standard for your own behind-the-scenes footage. That is not a fair comparison. It's not realistic, and it's not fair. Even if two people, you know, start at the same time and they start at the same place, God has a different plan for each of us. And unlike sports, the goal in life is finishing well. Not necessarily finishing first, but finishing well. You know, this is why Jesus taught his followers to avoid comparisons. In John 21, Jesus took Peter for a walk to discuss his future. But instead of focusing on what Jesus was telling him, Peter got distracted by John, who was tagging along at a distance. "What about him?" Peter asked, pointing back to John. And gently, Jesus reminded Peter not to worry about John's path. Peter would have his hands full just focusing on his own walk with God. He didn't need to compare his calling to John's or anyone else's. And that's still a solid life principle for us. Comparisons just lead to trouble. Fortunately, God's given us a better way, and it's called, you ready? Contentment. Yes, comparisons, they lead you in one of two directions. They either push you towards pride or shame. The first leaves you feeling superior to everyone else. Oh, you are the man. You are the woman. You've got it going on. Oh, while the second one leaves you wondering if you'll ever be good enough. It leaves you discouraged. It leaves you down and out. And neither of these places are healthy. And that's not where God wants us to live. You know, contentment works differently. Instead of puffing you up or beating you down, contentment reminds you that God loves you and made you for his plan and for his purposes. It produces gratitude. And as Paul said, godliness with contentment is great gain. He wrote that in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6. You can't get that kind of peace from a highlight reel. And you can't get it by comparing your life to what you see on social media or on, quote, reality TV. Which, folks, let's just get this out in the open. It's not reality. I mean, you ever thought about how they get those camera shots? Now they have 7 cameras on hand during these moments? It's not an accident. They get all those perfect expressions. They get all the perfect audio pickup because it's not real. So quit thinking it's reality TV. It's not. And you can only find it, this contentment, by skipping the comparisons, letting God make you who he wants you to be, not somebody else. And as strange as it sounds, in God's agenda, working behind the scenes often means, you know, living ahead of the curve. You know, a lot of times we think that behind the scenes is not necessarily a good thing, but I think that's what we need to do and not be comparing ourselves to other people's highlight reel. So we don't need things, or we don't need stuff or status to make us happy. That's not what we need. When you think about it, you know, the Bible never really even tells us that that we need to be happy. It just encourages us to be joyful. Did you hear that? Didn't say that we had to be happy. It encourages us to be joyful. Big difference. And in our heads, we know we should be joyful. We just aren't sure how to get there. I don't know where you're listening in today, what part of the country or what part of the world or what environment you're in. You might be at work or in the car or maybe in a car line. You know, I want to help you out with this. You might be feeling like, oh, I'm not happy. You know what? We're never promised that we're going to be happy all the time. But if you're not joyful, my prayer is that this show today helps you with that. So here's some observations and some ideas that I've kind of jotted down from being around truthfully joyful people. You know those joyful people that you know? You know some, right? And you're like, how in the world are you so stinking joyful? What is it? And so I kind of made some observations. First of all, at the foundational level, we need to understand the difference between the two, the difference between joy and happiness. You know, happiness starts on the outside and it affects how we feel inside. But joy, it starts on the inside and then it bursts its way out. Big difference. That's why Paul said to rejoice in the Lord always, Philippians 4:4. Even though, I don't know if you know this, but when he wrote that, he was a Roman prisoner at that time. And he said, rejoice in the Lord always. Why? He's talking about joy. It starts on the inside and it bursts its way out. Another observation is people who are truthfully joyful, they refuse to focus on their circumstances. Are you zeroing in too much on your circumstances? Is that got too much of your emotional bandwidth? You see, since joy is it's rooted in our hearts, our circumstances can't make it happen. Joy has to live bigger than that. We can choose joy because it's a product of who we are, not where we are. Now, who are you? Are you a joyful person Are you filled with gratitude? Do you have a running inventory of what God's done in your life, what he's done with your family, your health, your relationships, what he's protected you from? I don't know if we've ever thought about that. True joyful people do not focus in on their circumstances. Another thing is, practicing contentment. Joyful people actually practice it. It's not just a theory, not just an idea, but they actually practice it. Contentment and joy go hand in hand because they're both based on gratitude. And joyful people aren't jealous. I want what you have, or envious. I can't have it, so you shouldn't either. And while they may not have the best of everything, content folks make the best of everything. And that's fertile ground for joy to be produced. So how's your gratitude level going? How's your envy level doing? How's your jealous level? Those are good things for us to analyze, to be very self-aware when it comes to our level of contentment and our level of joy. You know, joyful people also, they see God as the ultimate provider. Joyful people understand the truth of Psalm 24:1. You've heard me say it before, that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. They know that God owns it all and that they are stewards of his good gifts, trusting him to meet their needs. And this eases the stress that can steal joy. Where are you with that? You know, joyful people also, they do life together with solid people. You know, a poet once said, "No man is an island." And he was right. Joyful people build healthy relationships with eagles who challenge them to fly high. Who are you hanging with? Are they dragging you down? Do they have small thinking? And don't hear me wrong here. I'm not saying you need to not be polite and not be kind to them. I'm saying you don't need to be hanging around them all the time. Side note, did you know that over your lifetime that you will make within 10% of the 10 people that you hang out with the most? Yeah, your annual salary over your lifetime, your income, it'll be within 10% of the 10 people you hang out with the most. Who are you hanging with? You know, also joyful people, they see themselves as God sees them. Again, comparisons crush joy. That's why joyful people see themselves through God's eyes. They serve an audience of one. If they get that right, they know that everything else will fall into place. So think about your day. I'm thinking about mine too. My motivations when I got up this morning, when I got dressed, when I drove to work, when I interacted with coworkers. Who's my audience? Who am I living for? It's a great question for us to ask as we try to manage this life God's way and for his glory. Check this one out. When I think about the joyful people that I know now and the ones that I've known throughout my lifetime, think about yours too. The most joyful people, they give generously. They just do. And people who are truly joyful, they give generously. And my mentor, Dave Ramsey, he's one of these folks. This man gives generously all the time, and not just money. He gives all sorts of things with his time, his energy, his influence, his leadership, his belief in people, giving generously. Would people say that about you? Would people say that about me? What a wrestle, right? The joyful people are givers, but they don't just give their money. In fact, for many joyful people, investing their time and their talents is more fulfilling than sharing their treasure. I know even my kids, they would much rather me give time and energy and talents than they would money. So how are we doing with that? I've got a few more things, a few more observations that I want to tell you in just a minute. But you know what? I kind of hinted at this a minute ago, and I want to make sure that I hit it really hard. This Do Christmas Right $100,000 giveaway. If you have not signed up for that, you are crazy. Some of the guys in the office here, Anthony O'Neill, say you're cray cray. Okay, you have got to sign up for this $100,000 giveaway. as part of Ramsey Solutions. All of Ramsey Solutions together is giving away $100,000 in cash and prizes this holiday season. Visit stewardship.com all season long for tips and encouragement to make this your best holiday season ever. We're really excited about this. As part of the Ramsey Solutions family, we are celebrating Christmas with a Do Christmas Right $100,000 giveaway. Make sure you don't miss that. Now go to stewardship.com, click on the Do Christmas Right $100,000 giveaway banner, and enter to win. We'll have weekly winners now through all the way through December 21st. We win valuable prizes, cash, life-changing books, home studies, and more. This could get your family out of debt. You thought about that? This could actually be what gets you out of debt. What a cool story that would be. You could help you pay cash for Christmas, which you need to be doing that anyway. Hello. If you can't pay cash for Christmas, downgrade your gifts. And also, you know what? If you won, it could allow you to really bless someone else. So enter once every single day from here until December 21st at stewardship.com to win. Do Christmas right this year. Again, head over to stewardship.com daily and sign up for the $100,000 giveaway in cash and in prizes.
If you have a question you'd like to ask Chris, email him at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Or you can call him at 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. Let's continue now with Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's Chris.
Now, I was telling you a little bit about these observations of joyful people. Another one was that joyful people pursue their God-given purpose, check this out, with passion. And I'm not talking about passion like the lowercase p, the word that's thrown around all the time that's overused. There's a difference between passion and interest. Your passion, if you have passion in something and you hit your first obstacle and you change and you do something else, that's not passion. That was barely interest. But I'm talking about they go after their purpose with reckless abandonment. They go after it with passion. Now, God has a plan for everyone, and the payoff for plugging into his plan and doing it as to the Lord and not to men, like Colossians says, brings incredible joy. Another thing that I've noticed is joyful people forgive. I'm not sure if you've got to forgive somebody, but that is great for us to assess every once in a while. Have I forgiven everyone? Am I holding a grudge? Forgiveness leads to pure joy because we are never more like Jesus than when we forgive others. And you might need to hear this, and forgiving ourselves, Ephesians 4:32. And another observation about joyful people is they reject fear. Fear has no vote in their life, has no room in their mental space or in their heart space. God doesn't deal in fear. 2 Timothy 1:7. Okay, in fact, his love cast out fear. We hear about that in 1 John 4:18. So joyful people don't wallow in fear either. They walk courageously in God's power and his presence. You know, the Bible says a joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. That's found in Proverbs 17:22. So if you're feeling a little dry these days, shower yourself in the joy that only God can provide. Are you doing that? Are you being mindful to do that? Are you spending some good prayer time at night asking for God to just shower you with his view on your life, how he views you? So in a lot of ways, you know, you hear this. The kind of the common thread through all of that was that joy comes from contentment. And when you're not content, you spend your whole life jumping from one thing to another, always hoping that the next thing will be the one big thing that makes me happy. And if that's your approach, folks, it will never happen. And again, the root cause is an issue of contentment. Here's what that might look like. Because you might want to, it might not be you that I'm talking to right now. It might be maybe someone in your family. It might be one of your kids. And maybe you can hear all this from a parenting angle. Maybe this is something that can help your kids. Think back, maybe back in high school, you said, I'll be happy when I finally graduate. Man, I can remember saying that. Do you remember that? You're sitting in the classroom, boring economics class, and you've got some dude, you know, in front of you who is falling asleep. Another guy's drawing on his desk. Another person is doing things that he probably shouldn't do in class. We'll just leave it. We'll leave it at that. And you're like, man, I cannot wait till I graduate. Only 264 more days. Then when graduation day finally comes and goes, you say, I'll be happy when I get out of college. And after that, you're out of college, but you're back in your parents' house. And you just don't know you'll be happy when you finally get your own place. You get a job and you get your own place, but you're not making much. That's when you just know you'll be happy once you make a little more money. Then you get a raise, and everything seems to be going well until you realize that you're lonely. And if that perfect guy or that special lady would just come along, you'll finally be happy. You ever felt like that? We've all been there. But for some people, this grass is always greener on the other side. And its root, this is a contentment problem. When you're not content, you spend your whole life jumping from one thing to another, always hoping the next thing will be the one big thing that makes you happy. And if that's your approach, folks, again, it will never happen. You might know that. After all, you have years of experience and wisdom behind you. But what about your son? What about your daughter? Because, you know, they might be in high school right now. They might be in that same economics class. Are they headed down the path of discontentment? Are they picking up these vibes from you or picking up these vibes from culture or their neighborhood or their friends? If so, how do you deal with it? The answer is to help your teenager understand how to define themselves by who they are, not what they have or what they are doing at the moment. It's easy to think, oh, they'll get over wanting a lot of stuff when they get older. But folks, research shows they won't. This desire will only grow stronger as they get older because they'll have more money and more opportunities to make more bad decisions. The type of stuff that they want will change, but the desire will still be there. Our world is addicted to bigger is better. And what's next? So the idea of just slowing down and enjoying what you have right in front of you before moving on to the next thing is foreign to some people. So help your teen understand that God doesn't care what's cool today or tomorrow. He's looking at their whole life, the past, the present, the future, and he longs for them to make the most of this life he has given them. Contentment, it's a powerful thing. When you truly realize who you are in Christ, you can own stuff without being weighed down by it. And you can finally climb off that I'll be happy when treadmill. That's a joke. Folks, we're better than that. All right. So today we talked a lot about contentment. I do want to point you towards an amazing free resource. You ready? Last week, I launched a podcast. It's called the Leadership Momentum Podcast. You can download it and you can subscribe to it. I sat down and talked with the one and only Max Licato, and we chatted about contentment specifically. So I want to point you to that. It lives at stewardshipcentral.org. That's a different website, so be careful. We always go to stewardship.com. But for this particular episode, because it's geared towards leaders, you will love it anyway. If you're a leader or you want to become a leader, this is about contentment when it comes to our leadership and when it comes to being a believer as well. So you want to check that out. Again, that's at stewardshipcentral.org. And one last thing before I go and before I sign off for the day, you have heard me say this several times. Do not let the day go by without you going to stewardship.com and signing up for the Do Christmas Right $100,000 giveaway. I'm begging you to give you money. What in the world, right? Ramsey Solutions wants to give away $100,000. We need you to help us give it away. So don't wait another minute. Sign up pronto. Folks, it's been a pleasure. Until next time, let's continue to manage God's blessings, God's way, for God's glory.